My suspicion is, I think last time all of our equipment was, let me turn that.
Good. Hear me okay?
As of right now, okay, yes.
Okay, good. I hope it was just teaching a class, one of the lunch and learns, I think. I don't know what the subject was, energy somehow. And so I think she'll join us in a minute or so. How's everything
okay, going? Yeah, it looks like she's trying to get in right now. I'm going to close my door, though. We've got some construction going on.
Hi, Hope. Oh. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, I can hear you now. Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Wow, nice picture. You look like you're on the beach in Tahiti or something there.
That was in Atlantic City.
Oh,
many, yeah. Many years ago before the very forward gray hair shown. At that point, it was still, you know, somewhat hidden. It was there, but not as predominant.
Oh, good. Gray hair is part of what makes us who we are.
I get you.
How'd your class go?
Oh, it was good. It was good.
Chuck said he was taking it. Well, he texted me.
So, I don't know if Bob Martin's going to be joining us. I haven't heard anything from him.
Okay.
But Bob Lucero, our assistant, I guess I'd call him at this point, building inspectors joined us.
Great.
But what Bob Martin brought to my attention yesterday is, I guess in the 2018 code, there's some pretty strict insulation, I guess I would call it, requirements. And in the, is it called the blow door or something like that, that test that we talked about? He's thinking that may be something we want to consider either removing or modifying within the 18 code, but I think I saw in Hope's email that that may not be possible.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to let you answer that one right down your alley.
New law that went into effect, I think, in 2019, along with saying that if you adopt a newer code, you have to adopt one of the latest three published editions of the energy code with it. And the other part of it was that you were not permitted to make the code any less energy efficient or any less restrictive. I don't know how you want to put it, but and so I know as far as the option of removing Bolrador tests, I know other communities had looked into that and they were wanting to amend that out, and they gave it to their legal department to look at. And they kept it in because their legal felt that it did, if they removed it, it went against what the state law was saying. So that was, Tim was one of them.
Yeah, and you asked about City of Trinidad, Phil, and I looked at their ordinance. I have it up here, And they didn't amend anything in energy, although they could have because they adopted before the legislation went into place. But right now, you can't. You can make changes in it, but you can't get any weaker energy-wise. You could be stronger, of course. I probably wouldn't recommend that in your area necessarily, but you just can't be weaker. So for years, you're in zone four, and in that whole area there, and zone four is an R49 in the ceiling, which is reasonably stout, right? That's how thick is 49 Hope, a foot or 14 inches thick? And
I don't think it's quite that big. Okay. Yeah, probably about a foot.
Somewhere in there.
I'd say, yeah.
And then
that's a foot of blown insulation or bat? Blown
insulation. Yeah. Well, yeah, blown is blown a little less. I forget how they figure that.
Yeah, blown is usually a little bit less, typically, what I see.
And the reason I ask is it was Bob's thoughts that in order to pass a...
You there?
Blower door test. Heard Hope say,
It flashed out really quick, and I missed whatever the last little part was. I apologize.
Well, no, that's no problem. What I was saying is that it was Bob's belief that in order to pass the blower door test, that most likely all insulation henceforth, once we make the adoption, if we don't make any changes, and what I'm hearing from you two is we can, but we can't go less than what the state is requiring or what the code is requiring at this point. We get more restrictive, but less. But anyway, he's thinking that in order to pass that blower door test, that everything's going to have to be blown to help seal up the little cracks and crevices and everything else. Is that kind of your guys' contention? And that's why I was asking about that R49, if that is bat or if that is blown. And then secondly, are we talking R49 west of I-25? And maybe something different east, since it's the flatlands, or is it R49 throughout Los Animas County?
Los Animas County is listed as, I think there, you don't have a dual.
Okay.
I don't think anyone in Colorado does, but let me make sure. Los Animas, you're just 4B. So it's all throughout there. It's all going to be the R49.
Okay.
And then as far as for the blower door test, the insulation isn't necessarily, how you would pass the blower door test. The blower door test is about for the air sealing. So it's, there's a nice little table in chapter four. It's it's called the air barrier table. And what it does is it kind of walks you through all the items that you need to kind of pay attention to, I guess you could say, and it gives you a really good roadmap in it to be able to pass the blower door test. Now, my suggestion would be is the amendment that I would make maybe is something to deal with if a blower door test doesn't meet the three air changes. Maybe you could put in there if the blower door, test does not meet the requirements, then some, these measures would need to be, fit or, would need to be addressed. And, like it could be, sealing the top plate or sealing the rim joist or something along those lines. So if they show that they've, maybe it was just something that was missed. If they show that they're making that effort for it, I wouldn't necessarily say that they would have to like test again if they're making that effort. And then hopefully the idea would be with the next project, they would be able to do it. And the blower door test only comes into play if it's a new structure. If they're doing alterations and so forth, that doesn't necessarily kick that in.
And then try and send him a copy of that table, but it drops all the boxes and lines, and it just looks like a jumble of writing. So that's not going to make much sense. I was going to try and just forward an example of that table you're talking about, so he could kind of see. It really just goes through, and if you get a minute to grab the IECC, you know, this afternoon or something, just go into 402.4, and you'll see the table there. And it gives all kinds of places where we leak air. And so where, or typically, if you check those areas and caulk them or seal them up with some kind of caulking or whatever, Hope might know better, but then you got a much better chance of passing the blower door test, because you've sealed off all those little air gaps, and the insulation doesn't really seal it. I mean, yeah, you could do it with spray foam and mm-hmm. that seals it, but that's an expensive way to do it.
But you're saying, you said earlier that the city of Trinidad didn't make any kind of amendments to that. Well,
right.
My thoughts are we stay in line with what the city did, because apparently their contractors are familiar with what's required, and the same contractors do a lot of work out in the county.
Yeah. Well, and then I would say too, just because it's written in the ordinance doesn't mean that Kent is aware of it, you know, in the city. He's you know, pretty sharp on a lot of things, but energy's new to a lot of us. And so he may not be enforcing some of the stuff as he learns as well. You know, he would enforce more things. So, but this way you would be the same as the city. It is required now, whether he's looking at it on homes right now or not, I don't know.
Bob, what are your thoughts?
Well, I had a couple of questions. The blower door test, is that done by an independent company?
Yes. Typically, it isn't something that the building departments are doing. I'm sure there are people who are certified to be able to do it, but typically it's done by a third party.
And who pays for that? Is that the contractor? Is it in his contract with the homeowner? Or and if the test isn't passed the first time, does that go, who gets billed the second time?
I mean, I can't speak to, you know, how everybody's doing it, but I do know typically that's included on the builder's side of thing. They're responsible for it because they're the one building it. They're the one that needs to test that their building is being constructed correctly for that. And so that has been, from my understanding, is that's who is paying for it.
Yeah, I mean, typically, if the contractor has a contract with a homeowner for, you know, $100,000 to build a house, and, you know, it's in there that they need to do it to the code. And then if the contractor hires a sub and, you know, pays him, say, $300, I think there's somebody in the northern New Mexico area over there that usually comes down and does it. There's people in the area. And if he doesn't pass, then they have to make the fixes and pay him again, you know, the second time. And, you know, if he goes back to the owner and says, well, it costs more, the owner's probably going to look at him and go, well, it's your contract, you know, to make it right. If the owner's doing the owner builder thing, then the owner's going to pay for it directly.
I think that was one of the concerns with Bob Martin had mentioned too, as far as, you know, who's responsible for that more if the first one fails.
Yeah, what I've told people right from the foundation, you know, as you start a home and the energy part is new, I'll tell the builder, so we're just pouring the footings, you know, let's talk about this early. There's going to be a blower door test, and that's, you know, after the frame is up and everything like that, and you know, and you need to hire someone, so start looking for companies, and then talk to them right at the beginning of when you hire them and say, what sort of things can I do so that I set myself up well for passing the test. I don't want to fail. You know, let's make sure that we do whatever we need to do ahead of time so that when the test comes, I stand a really good chance of passing it. And so they're talking to them early, and they say, well, it sure helps if you seal around your the rim joist or your floor plates or, you know, all those different spots that, that are in that table there. It's just, it's going to help to the end. But, you know, you can't put it off to the end and have the house built and then do a test and not have thought about it ahead of time. You got to think about it.
Well, it almost sounds like our hands are kind of tied as far as making any amendments to the energy code, if we adopt the 2018 code altogether.
Well, the city of Trinidad, they didn't adopt or make any amendments on the insulation amount like we talked about. They did make a couple of amendments to the energy code back, because they were allowed to back when they did it. And I'm just taking a look at it now. Well, of course, everybody inserts the name of their jurisdiction in 101. That's not making it weaker. And they did a little bit in Chapter 1 about failure to comply and violations and stuff. That's fine. They deleted systems operation control in its entirety. Hope that's 103.63. I don't know if you want to
on the commercial side or residential.
This is IEC commercial
system. Oh, yeah. That's the training of how these systems work.
Training the owner of the building?
Correct.
Yeah. They kind of felt like, well, that's not our job to train the owners of the buildings, you know, give them the paperwork and everything, and let the building owners go get their own training. They also just clarified letters DDC to mean direct digital control. That didn't make it any weaker. So you can do little things like that. And then they had testing in R402.412, and they changed that to read, the building or dwelling unit shall be tested and verified as having an air leakage rate not exceeding 5 air changes per hour for multifamily and 3 air changes per hour for other residential buildings and dwelling units. So if I remember right, the code would say 3 air changes per hour for all of that, and they kind of weakened the multifamily part to 5.
That would be correct, yeah.
But you can't do that now, you know, you just...
Yeah, I mean, that's where... You have to walk that really fine line, because that's what the law says.
Yeah.
But there are, I don't want to say workarounds, but there are things that, you know, could happen. Like, you could be doing a phased implementation plan where, you know, because in the 9, we were allowed 7 air changes an hour, and we got to practice and figure it all out before we got shot to the 3 air changes an hour. So maybe if it was presented as a phased implementation plan where we're going from no blower door test, and now we're going to get our builders on board, and so we're going to start off with 5 air changes an hour, and then, you know, whenever then we move to the 3 air changes an hour once our building community has, you know, that I don't think would lessen it, because it would kind of fall under a phased implementation plan as opposed to just deleting it altogether. Right. If it was deleted altogether, that's where there would be, you know, potential problem for it.
Yeah, and we have to turn in a copy of the final adoption, whatever's in it, to the Governor's Energy Office, right? As a copy of what Los Animas adopted and what their amendments were. So we want to make sure that we're not making it any weaker. One of the other areas, the only other area that the city did, was they deleted 404.5 through 405.21, which is just a little paragraph about your waters, and help me out here, Hope, the water supply can't be more than 2 feet from a fixture or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the where you're trying to get the whatever fixture as close to where the heat water heating source is. So it's not having to travel 100 feet worth of piping. That's on the commercial side of things, not right. on the residential side. And I'll be honest with you, I have seen it removed from other locations also. And I think that it was after the effectiveness of when the law went into play, but I could be wrong.
Well, I think another thing you could do too, and I didn't say this out loud, but you know, you'd adopt it as is, and then you only enforce what you know. So if it's, you know, it may be adopted, but we all adopt codes and we don't know every sentence in that code book, you know? So if you got an inspector that's not enforcing the hot water loop being within 2 feet of each, you know, lavatory or whatever, you know, then he just claims, oh, I didn't realize that part was in the code, you know, and he treats everyone the same and no one complains. And, you know, there's that part too.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dan. I didn't hear what you said. But don't worry about repeating it. That's
I was just saying, you know, you can adopt.
No. Dan, catch me here. I didn't hear what you said, but don't worry about repeating it.
Okay. He said nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. You caught it.
I'm with you now.
Okay. Is that just... going back to that conversation, is the hot water length of piping, is that part of the, I'm going to guess that's part of the energy code also?
It is on the commercial side.
Okay. So we could be more restrictive, but not less restrictive. Okay.
Correct. And like I said, I believe that, I want to say that those two options had been removed. And there hadn't been anything, but I don't want to.
No, knowing our luck, the day we submitted and the first person that reviews it would find it, and then they'd go over the rest of our with a fine tooth comb and nail us on everything they possibly could. So
I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't know about Bob, but I'm reluctant to start saying, well, maybe we'll gamble that no one will catch it. And plus our attorney, if she found out I did that, she'd have me by the throat.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe that's the thing to do, Dan, and Hope, is just adopt it as is. I mean, I know Dan, you made some suggestions that we might look at making a few changes, not necessarily in the energy code, some of the other areas. And maybe we adopt it as is, submit it, and then they will start trying to get our inspectors trained on all of the energy code part as we can afford it.
Yeah, well, and Hope too, we're working on the energy part of this with a contract, right? Where Phil's getting some free help there, a certain little bit, 10 hours or something. But is there also some free training available for he and Bob and anyone else in the office there?
Yes, we actually just had one last week down in Pueblo, but we do, what can happen is, and I can't do it per se, but you can reach out to Erica, or I can send you the link to the Colorado Energy Office toolkit, and then in there you can request for training, technical training, or maybe you can do where there's some joint training. Maybe there's a few cities in the area that maybe you guys all, you know, get together and say, hey, we're going to have one training, but we're going to do it for, you know, all of our inspectors and contractors for these three cities or whatever, something like that. But I'll send that link over to you. And then hopefully Erica will be able to help you guys with that, Erica and Kim.
Okay, be sure and include Bob Lucero and Bob Martin, if you would, please.
Okay, yeah.
One of the things Hope talked about there, Phil, is the possibility of implementing a phased-in approach. And specifically, she was talking about, you know, the concern being the blower door test. And do we need to say, well, 3-year changes is pretty tight for folks who've never done blower door tests and never tried to seal the building right first. How about we start at, you know, 5 air changes per hour, with it, which is a little leakier, and we go for, you know, I don't know, 2 years on that, and we encourage our contractors to show up at some of these trainings, and then after 2 years, they kind of know what they're doing, and their scores on the blower doors getting a little tighter and a little better and a little better, and then we say, okay, your 2 years is up, we're going to phase in the full depth of the energy code. And that's actually favorably looked on. That idea of a phased in implementation is favorably looked on by the Colorado Energy Office. And they have even a section on their website that says you can do this and here's how you do it. So you adopt the code in full as normal, but you phase in your inspections and plan review getting, you know, you start with at one point, and then you say, okay, at a certain amount of time, and you kind of write it up as a policy, you know, at a certain date, we're going to start. And then at another date down the road, however far you think makes sense, we're going to tighten it up a little bit until we're doing exactly what the code says. And they're okay with that because they know they're getting nothing right now. And then we're working in the right direction. So we've adopted the code. We're just not only enforcing pieces of it as we go, and then more and more and more.
I like that idea. And that was going to be my question, but you answered it. That is that the state's okay with that. So yeah, as long as not going to be going against statute and get ourselves in troubles by phasing it in, then I'm okay with that. Maybe like 1 year we go 5, the next year 4, or is that an oddball number? And then after that year, then we're at 3.
No, I think that's a great approach to go. Start 5, go 4, then 5, then 4, then 3. And then, you know, it gives the builders an opportunity to, you know, learn what works, what doesn't work. What do I need to do differently to make sure that, you know, I'm getting there? So I think that makes a lot of sense.
Bob, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm good with that. You know, it's because it's going to be, it kind of gives the contractors that learning ability, you know, since they haven't done it before. But I'm okay with that.
One of the things that's part of that or needs to be part of that is a good array of classes, you know, hopefully a free class so we can get it every, you know, 3 months or something like that, so that it's fresh on their minds and they're learning about a little different aspect of building tightness and ventilation and everything, because we're also talking about building it tight, but providing house ventilation. They might not be used to that. They might go, what's this house ventilation?
Okay, Dan, can you, I'm going to put the burden on you. Can you send us some language and some emails, some language and some thoughts on that? And then we can try and figure out a way to implement it into our policy, for lack of a better way of describing it.
Yeah, I'll work with Hope together on that, because we have an example right on the state's website of how they provide a suggestion of how to do that. And they talk about training on there too. So Hope, do you think we can kind of use, maybe copy that page and, you know, do something with that for them?
Yeah, I'm sure we probably can. I just sent the link to everyone. So okay. I'm sure that we can use it as a good baseline to jump off for this.
Yeah, maybe take a look at that link Hope just sent. You'll kind of, I think it's a 1 or 2 page thing, and you'll see what they recommend and some of the different steps in this phased plan, and see if we can get some education. I mean, that's the thing, is if you're not getting the education, the time of waiting between 5 air changes and 4 air changes means nothing, because They're not learning as they go. And you know, and this is, these classes are good for the inspectors as well as the contractors, all in the same room together. Let's all learn together. And that way the inspector knows what he's going to be looking for and the contractor knows what the inspector's looking for.
Okay, so summarizing, adopted 2018 in full, and then you and Hope will assist us with some language on a policy, for lack of a better way of describing, to phase in the blower door tests.
Yep, exactly.
And in the meantime, we'll try and get some training set up.
How does Phil need to contact some, well, you already gave him Erica's name and number, or how does that work, Cole?
As far as getting training set up?
Yeah.
I sent the link. I can't do anything with it. They would have to go in and make the request. It's, if you go to, on that link, I'm trying to find which field pulls it up.
It's on the Colorado Energy website, right?
Yeah. There's an awful lot of already recorded webinars too that might be of help.
Okay, well, our Bob Lucero then will be setting up any kind of training that he thinks necessary for the contractors and stuff, and I'll meet, as Dan suggested, and maybe in the chambers in our courthouse or somewhere else and go through some of that. But first, yeah, step, sure. First step, get the code adopted with the policy, and then we start our training.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there is on Wednesdays from 12 to 1, two Wednesdays of the month, there is a webinar series on, and it's all energy topics. It's just different topics too, and so it's free.
Yeah, you can get on those now. I mean, you, and both Bobs can could take those anytime now. And there's a different subject for each one. What do you have them, once a month or something like that?
Yeah, twice a month.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you, folks, for your time. And
yeah. We will start kind of putting a little draft policy together, and then we'll hand it to you guys, and you can kind of shred it apart and say yay or nay, and it'll give you something to go by. And I had sent to you guys just a copy of the ordinance that I think needed, you know, it was made up of a bunch of little boxes, and I just needed your executive assistant or whatever to kind of do the whole Word document rearrangement thing to squeeze everything in. Have they started on that, you think?
No, I didn't open it up because I thought we needed to jump through these hoops first. Okay. Misunderstood what was needed there, but I'll send it to Paula, our administrative assistant.
That'd be great. Whoever made it in the first place, maybe her, maybe somebody else, but you know, they put all the text in boxes, and well, then you got to maneuver these boxes and make them a little bigger and put more text in, and there's not enough room. And so then some of it rolls out of sight. It's still there, but you can't see it. And I need a word whiz to do that. You know, we're good at helping out with the wording, but not necessarily with the arrangement and presentation of the document.
Okay.
And then she can send that back when she's got it done. I can check to make sure nothing got, you know, left out or whatever, as far as any lines that we had talked about.
Okay, I just want to make sure I have, I know I have it somewhere.
Yeah, let's see. I'll probably look in my scent under your name.
Amendments and ordinance.
Let's see, amendments are attaching a redo. Yes, that's the one on December 8th.
Okay.
And of course, your folks will know, you know, what resolution number is this going to be, and who are the, you know, that's an old document, so it may have commissioners on there you don't even have anymore, you know. So just general cleanup and presentation of it, and because if you look at, I think the the print view, it's all there. But if you look at the reading view, it's lost lines, and someone who's a correct admin will know how to fix all that.
Okay.
That'd be great.
All right.
Okay, we'll start working on writing up a little phase plan here and try and do something that's simple and clean and would make sense for you folks.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Hope.
Okay.
Yeah, anytime.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Yo.